Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by John Herman, U.S. Rate Strategist for MUFG. It's Wednesday, June 24th, 2020. Welcome back, John. You recently put out a great piece entitled Year 2020 Strategy Update. I'd like to try and take our listeners through that piece right now. Why don't we start with a quick summary of the first half of this year, and then move on to how you see the second half of the year unfolding.
Okay, great. So again, in terms of the first half, you know, from the standpoint of January 1st, you know, there obviously was some big surprises in terms of the COVID and that kind of stuff. But, you know, by the third week or so of January, we were already in, we had a staggered long position in euro dollar contracts to try to take advantage of what we thought was going to be a big problem in the economy this year into next year with the COVID crisis. And but we just didn't know at that time just how quickly and forcefully Chair Powell would act. But we were long the euro dollar contracts and like a strip of them to take advantage of that. So that all worked out. Second quarter GDP appears to us to be declining about 35%, but we're looking for a 25% rebound in the third quarter and another 7% type gain in the fourth quarter. So our year-on-year projection is growth down 4.6% in America. Consensus is more pessimistic, minus 5.7%, and the Fed is even more pessimistic at minus 6.5%. So we're relatively optimistic this year on GDP. Also on the payrolls, we're looking for payrolls to average around, you know, somewhere 800,000 to 900,000 a month, average per month over the second half of the year. So we're actually looking for really a pretty decent job recovery also as the U.S. economy reopens and as the expansion, you know, gains momentum.
Well, I certainly hope you're right on the rebounding growth and employment. Those forecasts are obviously predicated upon certain assumptions, and this year is full of risks. What are your base case expectations for the path of COVID-19 and the reopening of America, and how do these factors influence the November elections?
So this is really, really key. So, you know, we think the despite all of our anxiety over the COVID levels and what they may rise to, and any delays to the vaccines and treatments programs and efforts and stuff, which we also have a lot of anxiety over, we're assuming a base case between the period from July 16th to November 2nd. We're assuming a base case that America just continues to reopen, all the public schools open in their, you know, August and September time periods, the fall athletic programs all open in their August and September time, and we average between July 16th and November 2nd about 26,000 or so cases per day, new COVID cases per day. After that time period, the about 4 or 5 months after that, from November 3rd through say mid to late March, we worry that such an average like 26,000 or so, in the absence of effective vaccines and treatment, we think you're basically looking at an average daily run rate of somewhere around 45,000 cases per day, possibly even over 60,000. So we really, really, really worry about these things. So it seems, and again, the kind of the key point, inflection point, it occurs like right around that you know, late October, early November time period, which is the time of the elections. So we think that we're not thinking that this is the only factor that's going to determine the outcome of the elections, but we think it's going to be quite influential. So we would not be surprised to see, and we would put a much higher risk probability on this risk, that you probably may see a swing to the Democratic Party in the Senate and also in the presidency. And it may be just by very narrow margins, but we would assign, I think, a much higher probability to that outcome than most investors and most financial market participants would. So again, we think there's the pendulum swing, not just in the presidency, possibly by a narrow margin, but also in several seats in the Senate. And I would just like highlight a couple, for example, in the Senate in Arizona, Senator in Arizona, Colorado, possibly in Georgia, Iowa, Maine, and North Carolina. I just really worry about that. And if that were to happen, I think that's really a game changer in many, many areas. And we'll explore this down the road. But I just to highlight a couple of bullet points would be, you know, obviously that would imply a much greater expansion of support to households and their incomes through this time period and in through next year first. Secondly, you'd have to also, they would also support much more supportive of small, mid-size, extra small size businesses to prevent their insolvency. A lot of support there. Also, probably likely a tremendous amount of support to state and local governments that you know have really had to, their budgets have really imploded in the last few months, and they had to lay off tons of people. You know, with that decline in their budget revenues, so we'd expect support there, and then we would also expect higher tax rates on corporations and on high income individuals. So. It would be a pretty much a game changer, but that's kind of the risk that we're seeing.
Thanks for that. Let's say you're right, and growth, the reopening of the economy, the path of COVID-19, and the election evolve in line with your base case expectations. Take us through the effect of all these separate but also interdependent forces on your core strategic 2s-30s yield curve steepening call.
So this is how it all kind of flushes out. And I know there's going to be more than a few of our clients who may disagree with me on this, but I'm happy to discuss with you. So here's how we're thinking it plays out. If we keep reopening and we don't have the vaccines, you know, by the end of the year or say January, February, or March at that point, we think the COVID cases remain really high. That'll put us in those weird episode of will we lock down again, yes or no, will there be sporadic lockdowns and the like. So that's very risky. That would suggest risk off in terms of equity markets and stuff like that. Also, if we're right about the election and we do get this pendulum swing in both the Senate and the presidency, that would give the Democratic Party this unified power throughout the branches of government. So we think that would lead to we've seen unprecedented fiscal stimulus now. We think it would even be like, I wouldn't call it a doubling down of it, but like a massive expansion of what we've already seen. So that would mean a lot more treasury supply going forward. And you'd probably also get the Fed to buy in terms of, people call it yield curve control, but we would call it interest rate caps, the way we America described it back in the 1940s, you know, like an interest rate cap on 2-year note yields or 3-year, you know, a 3-year note yields could be something like 20 basis points on a 2-year note yield and 25 basis points on a 3-year note, something like that. But just very front end interest rate caps is what we call it. So you'd get that. So the curve, by doing all this support to the economy, you would keep the economy going through this, you know, through the health crisis. You would also massively expand the treasury auction schedule and so on in the supply. You'd ultimately support the recovery while the Fed, you know, really pins not just 1-year yields, but 1-year, 2-year, maybe even 3-year yields, really pins the front end. And that would just put pressure, you know, for the curve to steepen. So again, we know that, you know, most people, when you wake up on the morning of November the 4th, and if there's a big swing in the government, you know, some people in equity markets may say, oh my God, you know, taxes are going to go up, and maybe they may perceive it as a risk off kind of thing. But that may be like a knee jerk kind of stuff. But we would say that by providing tremendous support to the economy through this very difficult time period of adjustment might be just what we need to get to longer run, you know, sustainable growth. So we would not, you know, we know temporarily, you know, tactically, people may be really, really nervous, but over the longer run, it would help the economy achieve its goals. And that's ultimately, you know, what we're trying to do. So it's going to be an amazing year. So fasten your seatbelts, as we say, and let's just get ready for it.
Great analysis, as always. Thanks for joining us, John.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.